Hello, and welcome to the Mountaintop Marriages radio broadcast with Roger and Lorene Traver. Mountaintop Marriages is a marital ministry focused on teaching marriage principles from the Word of God. And now let's get into today's program.
Number nine, she needs to be fulfilled, with an emphasis on fulfilled in the sexual intimacy, or satisfied during intercourse. Many men think that that's just a man thing for their enjoyment. Number 10, she needs affection other than sexual touching so that there's not fear that every time there's touching that it shall end up in bed. Number 11, she needs to be wooed or romanced with candles and music and soft firelight and whatever else turns her on. Number 12, she needs presents or gifts just because she's loved. These are all emotional things, you know, from about 6 on down. You know, guys, Christmas, birthdays, anniversaries are a must. You know, but how about those gifts just when you come home from the office, just because you love her and you thought about her and you stopped off someplace and got her something, you know, just because you were thinking about her. Number 13, she needs dates with her husband. Number 14, she needs times alone with Jesus and to be by herself, especially if there's small children or if she's a working mom and she's got many wearing many hats. She needs to have time alone. Number 15, she needs to see her husband in the Word and sharing it with the kids, and I would add, and also with her. Okay, that gives her great security. Number 16, she needs to be fulfilled through her man. Now, what that means is many women nowadays are being, you know, at-home moms, at least in the Midwest. I don't know if that's happening here or not, and they are homeschooling their children. Do people do that here in California, brother? Yeah. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
That's a wonderful profession,
that's right.
You know. But when she does that, she doesn't get a job evaluation generally from the CEO of the company that she's working for. And that's where the CEO of the marriage needs to come in and tell her what a great job she's doing.
That's right.
As a teacher and a mom. Number 17, she needs outings and shopping times. I don't know why. She just does, you know. Number 18, she needs a man to be observant and take care of things around the house that need to be fixed. If that's where she spends a lot of her time, it shows her honor and respect when the husband does things like that. Number 19, if the husband, you know, the person that said that said, you know, a husband doesn't have to be mechanical. They can just be responsible to call somebody that is mechanical to fix the problem for them. Number 19, she needs satisfaction in housekeeping. And the person that said this said, you know, where husbands would pick up their own socks and clothes and put them in the hamper and that so they didn't have to be the mother. Okay?
Ouch. That's an ouch.
Number 20 is a woman because she's emotional, needs lots of TLC and hugs and kisses and to be told 100 times a day that she is loved. Man doesn't necessarily need to be told over and over and over and over that he's loved. He needs to be shown it through honor and respect.
Well, should we just do that? Husbands, just turn to your wife and say, I love you. Just do it. I love you. That's good. Praise
the Lord. Did you all get some numbers down? All right. Okay, so take your sheets. Put them in your hands.
In your hands. You'll have to have a sheet in your hand. Everybody needs a sheet in your hand. Your list of my needs has got this list of stuff on it. Okay? And we're going to pray. We're going to pray with our eyes. Well, you don't have to have your eyes open, so I don't care. But we're going to lift this thing up. So I want you all to lift your list of needs up to God. Okay. By the way, while your list of needs is up there, who's responsible for meeting these needs? Jesus is. Okay, so let's just pray. Okay, just pray this after me. God, I bring this list of needs to you. And I know that you want to meet my needs. Your word says that my God shall supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. You'll take care of me. I trust you. I don't rely upon my mate or anybody else. I rely upon you. And I believe that you'll meet my needs. You'll take care of me. You'll minister to me. And I just love you for doing that. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, take your list now. Don't put it away. Give it to your mate. Now, whose list of needs do you have in your hand now? My mate's needs, okay? So the whole trick is, okay, we actually come back to places and we do a seminar a year or two or three or four later, And I'll have people walk up to me, meet me at the door and say, Roger, it's good to see you. You know that list of needs? I say, yes, I do. They say, my wife, my husband, did not meet one of those needs. And I'm going to say, I don't care. And you're going to say, you're a hard, harsh person. I'm going to say, no, I'm not. Let me ask you the question. How many of those needs of your husband or wife did you meet? Well, I quit after 2 weeks because they weren't ministering to me. I said, now what I need to do is get a little hard with you, okay? I need to rebuke you. So what I want you to do with this thing is to take this list of needs and put it someplace where you're going to see it every day. You buy one of those little tourist magnets that says, you know, we're in Redlands, California, and put it up on your refrigerator or something, and put this list of needs up there and put it up there, or put it someplace where you're going to see it every day. My list of needs for years was in my underwear drawer. Why was my list of her needs in my underwear drawer? I go there every day, and I pull this thing. I used to get up at 5:30 in the morning, go to early classes. She would sleep in. I'd open this drawer up in the dark. This piece of paper would fall out every day because my underwear drawer is full. I'd pick up this piece of paper, shine a little pen light flashlight on it, and say, what is this thing? And after a couple of years, you should learn. Okay, but I'm a man. Okay? So I say, oh, it's a list of her needs. And what is number seven? Number seven is she needs a rose. I can do that. 7-Eleven Quick Trips, they got rose, individual roses. I can do that, man. Some places are even cheaper by the dozen than they are by one rose. You know, go into Walmart and get the ones that are almost wore out. Okay, get them for $2.98. But you get a dozen, and they'll last for 2 or 3 days, and you buy her some more roses after that. So it's like just things like that. So I see, what are her needs? Okay, she wants me to read her the Word every night. I can do that. I haven't done that in a couple of days. If I put the list of needs away, and I minister to my wife in a powerful way, I can help God minister to her. But I do not rely upon her to minister to me. I rely upon God to minister to me, and I get my total satisfaction from God. And whether she ministers to me or not does not matter. I will minister to my wife every day. Amen. How often? Every day. I mean, just every day. Just every day. I do that every day. I just give to her, and I give to her, and I give to her. And I can almost guarantee you that when I give to her, it will come back. Okay? What's Luke 6:38 say? Given it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Oh, man, I love that kind of stuff. So just give it away. Just give it away. Just give it away. And when you do, you can expect God to bring it back upon you, and your needs will be met. But if you're not given, be lonely. You're not going to receive. Because your needs aren't going to be met. You're going to sit there and say, why, God? Why? But when you give it, just keep on giving, and God will give it back.
Okay, I sense that you all need to stand up and give your wife a hug.
Ah, oh, I love this part.
Or a kiss, or whatever.
Give her a hug. Give her a hug. Give her a hug. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. You can say something to her, too, if you want to. Just say something ooey-gooey to her. Something really soft and just messy. Just say something gooey-gooey to her. Don't embarrass her. Okay, you can sit down.
Praise God. Have y'all met Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful here in California?
No.
You don't? You haven't met Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of Midwest buffs, I guess. They have that Midwest look.
But Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful know what their husbands and wives like to hear. And so they say things that are just wonderful to hear. So we're gonna say some of the things and let Mr. Wonderful speak. No, let Mrs. Wonderful speak. In fact, somebody gave us Mr. Wonderful a couple years ago, and his wife was there. There's a couple gave him this, and I said, well, is there a Mrs. Wonderful? And he says, no, but if there was, she wouldn't say anything.
No, he wasn't.
So we made this guy come to 2 more seminars. Wife didn't have to, but she did because she has a clue. So let's just play some.
But they have these list of needs down pat, and they really understand the opposite sex.
We'll see if we can do the mic thing.
Hello, darling. Have I told you I loved you lately?
Oh. Oh.
Don't feel bad, honey. I forgot it was our anniversary, too.
Did you have a hard day, honey? Why don't you sit down and let me rub your feet?
Oh, good idea.
Yeah, when's the last time you heard that? Probably yesterday.
You're going out with the boys tonight? You work so hard. Enjoy yourself.
Oh.
You're going shopping by yourself? How about if I tag along and carry your bags?
Oh. Mr. Wonderful.
Mr. Wonderful.
You're right. We don't need directions. Maybe you'll find a shortcut.
Jeep.
Oh, that's right.
Actually, I'm not sure which way to go. I'll turn in here and ask directions.
Do you know? Well, never mind.
Don't worry about taking the trash out. I can use the exercise.
I love you.
Oh. It really doesn't matter if you leave the toilet seat up. It makes it easier to clean.
Is that a good one or what? How many times have women complained to men about leaving the toilet seat up?
Yes, dear.
Oh.
You don't need a glass. Just go ahead and drink right out of the carton.
You've been on my mind all day. That's why I brought you these flowers.
Oh.
Your new secretary is cute.
I don't know.
She didn't like it. She didn't like that one.
You know, honey, why don't you just relax and let me make dinner tonight?
A new reversible drill. Oh, honey, it is just what I needed.
Why don't we go to the mall? Didn't you want some new shoes?
As long as you're comfortable, dear, no one will care what you wear. Hey, it's just family.
The ball game really isn't that important. I'd rather spend time with you.
Oh, you're watching a ball game. Just stay there on the couch and I'll whip up some snacks.
Here, you take the remote. As long as I'm with you, I don't care what we watch.
Yes. Is that good?
Are you sure it's okay to wash this shirt? You've only worn it for a couple of days.
You know, I think it's really important that we talk about our relationship.
Yeah.
I'll finish cleaning out the garage, honey. Your friends are waiting for you to play golf.
Let's just cuddle tonight.
My friends think you're...
That's not enough.
You look so beautiful in the morning.
Yes.
That's where you got that.
Uh-huh. Is there anything else I can get for you, dear?
No. You don't look at all fat in that dress. How could anything make you look fat?
Don't feel bad, honey. I forgot it was our anniversary, too.
We'll get back to the game.
Okay. Can't your mother stay another week?
That is Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful. But you know, we really should work at some of the things that Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful say and do instead of being critical and negative and demeaning and, you know, attacking each other all the time. So I want to talk about communications or love language.
We're going to do love languages.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
We're getting it together here.
Yeah, we're getting our act together. Can we switch gears just for a while? In fact, for a long while, I think. Let's get away from a lot of the spiritual things and get into a lot of practical stuff. Let's talk about communications and how effective communications is so important to us. I've had in the last 2 days, people walk up to me and say, you're talking about communications tomorrow? Good, we've got it all together. I like that. Another person walked up to me and said, you're talking about communications? We haven't communicated in years. This is just a nasty, nasty topic. And I thought, this is really cool to talk about. Okay? So it's like everybody's different than what we do. So did you all get a sheet when you came in on communication scriptures? You all have that? You'll find that. If you don't have one of those, we have those available for you. Anybody doesn't have the sheet on communication scriptures? Just wave at me. That's a little.
There's so many, you know, good Christian books at your Christian bookstore that talk about good communication skills. And I thought it was silly for a long time in my life to read anything about how to talk. I mean, after all, I know how to talk, you know. But, you know, many times we learn how to talk wrongly. And we just are so used to saying things the way that we say them or the way that we've been raised in our home, and we communicate the way that we've been role modeled to communicate, and many times that is bad. But there's all kinds of authors like Gary Smalley and James Dobson and Norman Wright, H. Norman Wright, and just, you know, numerous others. But we want to pick out a few to just kind of talk about and share kind of our insights about what happens when we communicate as we normally would. And most communication is abusive. Most communication ends up in attacks and in devaluations and defensiveness and arguments and bitterness, and that leads to unforgiveness and walls. And most communications, unless you really work at it and learn a way to share how you feel about things, is destructive in marriage. And so many marriages have problems in the area of communications.
Are you saying that conflict is bad?
Conflict is normal because you are married to someone from the opposite sex.
That's right. I'm married to a woman.
That has a different love language, that has a different perspective on life, that has different thoughts and attitudes, that expresses themselves differently. You know, it's like going to another country and we have translators. So many times, haven't you ever wished you had a translator? You uh-huh. get in a communication with your mate and you just, you can't quite, you know, communicate what you're trying to say, and they keep hearing something that you're not saying.
That's right.
And it's like you need a translator, you know, to come in and say, no, this is what I'm trying to say.
So
conflict is inevitable. But strife is demonic.
Oh, strife is bad.
Conflict
is okay. See, the reason I brought this up was years ago, Lorraine and I would get into a conflict, and I'd say, conflict is bad. And she'd say, no, conflict is good. I said, well, how can you say conflict is good? We're shouting at each other. And she said, because we're in strife. I said, aren't they the same thing? And she said, no, they're not the same thing. Conflict simply means that I've got a different opinion than she does. Okay? It's going to happen every day. But strife means that I've got to have my way. Okay? I'm going to tell you what I think. It's like this right doggone it. And because there's strife element out there, and strife is wrong. Strife is a negative, nasty thing. But can we have a healthy conflict? Yes, we can. Once we learn how to have a healthy conflict, it will solve a lot of problems in a lot of marriages, because when a conflict comes up, which it will, probably this afternoon, okay, on your way home. I'm not trying to prophesy, okay, but I'm just trying to say conflict happens. So when conflict happens, let's know how to solve it rather than get into strife, which is the negative part of it.
See, you can have conflict and honor and respect your mate. Because if you honor and respect someone, you are giving value to their opinion.
That's right.
And all you have anyway are opinions. And it's like, my opinion might be different than his opinion. That doesn't make me right and him wrong.
But I always thought that when we got into conflict that I had to be right to be all right. I thought if she didn't agree with me, then something's wrong with me. As a man, I'd think, oh, I'm bad, I'm wrong. So I'd argue the whole point. It's like, no, she's got a different opinion. And we can end up with a different opinion on the whole matter and still both of us be okay.
But honoring just simply means I hear what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying, and I see what you're saying. Now, I may not agree or see it or, you know, look at it from the same way, mm-hmm. but that doesn't make me right and him wrong. It makes us different.
That's right.
And if we could just get that into our heads, it would solve so much of the strife that goes on in marriage relationships, because we don't need to win to be okay.
That's right.
We know we're okay because of who we are in Christ, and we give the other person the right to be different. Praise God. So we gave you a whole bunch of communication scriptures, and since now we are all a praying people together as couples, and we come into agreement with the Word, and we
That's
pray,
right.
read the Word, we thought we would give you another opportunity to pray together. So these scriptures, we're going to do with them the same thing that we did with the scriptures on marriage, but these are specifically about communications. And so if you have a problem in the area of communications, as you take this page and you pray it every night for the next 30 days and you alternate husbands and wives, you will find your communications changing, because the Word will change your heart and your mouth. So let's
try
it.
Can we do that today?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it right now.
So man, we're going to ask you when you start. Take that first one, Colossians 4:6. Put your mate's name in and just read that. Just read it aloud. If your mate's not here, read it anyway. If you're single, read it anyway. You put it in for you. And then wives do Ephesians 4:23, and men do Ecclesiastes 10:12. Just go back and forth, all the way to the very end, and then the second page. Can we do that? Okay, let's just, men, go for it. Okay, I'll do it up here and turn my mic off. You do it back there.
Are those good? They are excellent scriptures. So pray read them, you know, every day, along with the others. You might, you know, work your prayer time up to 5 minutes instead of three, but it'll be a great 5 minutes, and you will see a lot of results because of that. So praise God.
Let's talk about communications today, but let's do communications 101 real quickly. You probably had all this kind of stuff before, but it's wonderful to look at again. What makes up a message between two people? What are the components of a message between Lorraine and I? Let me just put it back up here. Oh, that's good. Is that cute or what? Okay, I'm sorry. So the three components of a message between a couple. Number one is simply the content, the words that you say. Smallest part of the message, right?
Yeah.
Now, you're all going to go to church tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
When you walk out to the car tomorrow after church, be the first one to do this, because if you don't, your mate will. And you say to your mate, what was the sermon about? What was the message about? Okay, and the other person's going to say, well, it was good. Yeah, but what was it about? It's like, well, it gave a lot of scripture. It was really, I can apply it to my life. So what are you going to apply? What was it about? Well, I don't remember what it was about, but it was about, it was good. I really enjoyed it. It was a good time in church. And it's like the mate's going to say, so you really don't know what the person said? Because the words that you say are typically the smallest part of the message that comes across. The words that I say to Lorene. So I say the right words to Lorene. Let me say the right words. I love you. Does she believe me?
No.
No, because even though she hears the words, the tone of voice, which is number two, is not the right tone of voice. So the tone of voice, 38%, a lot bigger than the content. If you're going to say I love you to your mate, put the right word, put the tone with it, man. It says, so I really do love you. Otherwise, she's not going to believe you. So tone of voice, number two. Number three is the biggest part, and that's the nonverbals. So nonverbals are more important in a communication between Lorene and I than the words or even the tone of voice. How you react to it and what you're saying with your body language.
Is everybody that's here married? They may not married.
You may not married. You okay. Guys aren't married. Good. Okay. You aren't either. That's good.
Okay. If you don't want to do this, you don't have to, but if you want to, you can. But stand up.
Stand up. Okay.
We're going to do a little exercise here. First of all, we're going to tell each other we love them three different ways. Okay? Uh-huh. If you're not married, you can say, I love you with the love of God, okay? but first of all, I want to show you the difference between, your words and the tone of voice and nonverbals. First of all, I want you to tell each other that you love them only with your eyes. You cannot touch.
Can't
you
touch.
Cannot talk.
Can't talk.
You just have to speak with your eyes. The windows of your eyes are the soul. Anyway, however that scripture goes, I can't think of it right in the moment. But, tell them with your eyes that you love them.
So 10 seconds. Turn to your mate and no touching, no talking. Just tell them you love them with your eyes for 10 seconds. Start right now. Okay, time's up. Stay standing up. Stay standing up. What are we going to do next?
Now tell them that you love them
with words.
With words. Don't touch.
No touch.
Don't touch. Please. Just speak words.
And we're going to let the man say it first. We're going to give you 10 seconds to tell her that you love her. And say it softly and don't embarrass her. But give her words with the right tone of voice to say that you love her. 10 seconds, guys. Start in. Tell her you love her. Okay, ladies, it's your turn. Tell him you love him. Okay, 20 more minutes of that. okay. Here we go on the last one. The last one, you're not going to talk, but you can touch. Nothing embarrassing to your mate. That means you can kiss her, you can hold her, you can hug her, but nothing embarrassing to your mate, guys. I mean, y'all hear that, okay? And all you people who don't have a mate here or you're single or don't want to do this, just kind of close your eyes so you don't watch, okay? This is all a private thing, yes. You can borrow Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful. okay, nobody looking around. Take 10 seconds and go for it. That was good. That was worth coming to. Okay, you can have a seat.
Was it awkward to just do one thing at a time? I think sometimes it is. It's like we want to communicate in all three areas, because we're spirit, soul, and body. Mm-hmm. And we want to really get the true message across. And so we need verbal, nonverbal, and word, and the tone of our voice, and you know, our spirit. You know, your eyes are, how's that scripture called? The window of this.
Windows of your soul.
So they express what's inside your spirit. And so you want to express, I mean, and you do express your spirit when you communicate.
Okay, we're going to communicate, but I want you to tell me how to communicate non-verbally. I want you to show me or tell me ways to show a rejection with non-verbals. Yeah, there it is. Your arms folded. Come on, give me some more.
Turn your back.
That's right. What else? Pulling away. That's right.
Rolling your eyes.
That's
a good one.
That's good. Yeah. What?
Leaving the house.
Leaving the house.
Slamming the door on the way out.
Slamming the door on the way out. Sighing is wonderful.
Turning the volume up on the TV.
That's good, man.
How about this one?
What's this one? Oh, yeah. Changing the channels. What? I didn't hear that. Oh, push mute. Yeah, toward your husband. Ha ha ha. I thought of that. That's good. Talk to the hand. Talk to the hand. That's right. I know. That's right.
Sleeping on the couch.
That's right.
Never happens. Better not.
Bare-faced in the book. Or the computer.
Or the newspaper.
Or computer games, or a newspaper, or a magazine, or a book. What? Or the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Oh, that's a good one. Good one.
Okay. Now, none of you do that. I know you don't do that. Okay, but how do you show acceptance with nonverbals or body language? Tell me or show me. What? Eye contact. Oh, that's good. That's precious, man. Yeah, holding hands. I love that. Why else? In public. Holding hands in public. There's some cultures that say you shouldn't do that. We got confused between Taiwan and Mexico, where we were. We could hold hands one place, we can hold hands the other place. Yeah, interesting. Give me some more. Acceptance. What?
Embrace.
That's right. Smiling at each other.
Smiling, touching.
Touching.
The smell of chocolate chip cookies. All right. She knows your heart.
That's right. Yes.
Answering politely.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That's right. You know, I think it's so interesting because don't all of your wives have the look? If you say it the wrong way, she can give you that look.
Or the husbands also have a look.
Yeah, husbands
right?
can give you. Husbands can. He usually rolls eyes up and that kind of stuff. Okay, but it's important how you respond to each other. Okay, responding correctly is really right. Lorraine knows how to touch my button. She can just touch the wrong button and she can really tick me off. And it's like right now. It's like I've learned how to respond to that. It's taken me a long time to do that. Okay, and she has to do the same kind of thing with me. So acceptance, all these things we just talked about, and you know the acceptance more than you know the rejection, right? None of you ever do the rejection. You always do the acceptance. That's right. Okay. We'll pray for you for lying. Okay, now. Oh, there's my man talking. Okay, now, what I want to see, okay, get him off there. Okay, what I want to see is communicating at five different levels. Again, just communications 101, just simple stuff, but let's just see this. What are the five levels of communicating? And these should be in your book. Are these in the book?
Yes.
Yeah, they kind of are. What, page 35 maybe? I'm not sure if we're on the same page numbers as you are. Is that page 35?
Where is our little book?
Our little book is back here or up there someplace. Page what? Is it the top? Do we have on 35, does it say directions?
Directions.
Okay,
directions.
That's it. They have the same five things up there.
As he goes through these, try to see what is the deepest level of communication that took place between you and your mate. Like last week.
Okay, let's walk through this. Level five is cliche conversation. Do you ever in church, does Yanni ever have you turn around and greet people? It never does that?
Good.
He never does that?
No.
What's the deal?
You're from California, right?
You're from California. Now, say that you would. You're in church, and Yanni says, turn around and greet people around you. And you turn around, there's somebody you don't know, hasn't been to church before. What do you say to them? Hi, how you doing? Well, what do they answer back? Yeah,
shallow, cool. Shallow. That's shallow. Why he doesn't do it, because he knows that it's shallow.
That's what they do in all churches. So we don't want to do what they do in all churches.
That's right. All right. Praise God.
Number four is reporting facts. Okay? Give me a fact. My shirt's black. That's right.
Good
That's right.
Fact.
That's right. She didn't judge whether she liked my shirt or not. She just simply said the shirt's black. Okay? USC has a football team. No, no, no. No, no, no. See, you went beyond what we're supposed to do. See, USC's got a football team, is reporting facts. Now, come on. Now, what did he do? He went on to level three up here, which is ideas or judgments. Okay? They're the best. Okay? Now, he may think that. I may think Notre Dame's going to beat him this afternoon by 40 points.
Okay. Are you
going to
bet on that?
No, I don't. Well, that really turned him on, didn't it? Okay. This is cool. But see, but what we're doing is, now what if she said, I don't like your black shirt? And Lorraine said, I do like your black shirt. Well, now we're down to level three. We're putting a judgment or opinion upon the whole thing. Now here's the problem. Most couples live and move in levels five, four, and three. They came home after the day and they say, hi, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm okay. What's for supper? We're having macaroni and cheese. I don't like macaroni and cheese. Well, tough luck. What's on TV? Okay. USC's on TV. I don't want to watch a football game. Football games are terrible. I like football. And you turn the game, you eat macaroni and cheese, and that's where you live for the whole evening until the next night when you come home. That's shallow, folks. That is really weak communications. That's not healthy communications. Now, going on to level two is feelings or emotions. But I want to skip that for a minute. I want to go on to level one, which is complete personal commitment, which means you can say anything to your mate and not get slaughtered. So what happened? Let me tell you this. I love this. What happened when I came to Lorraine and said to her, I'm lusting after every woman that walks? It was a moment in time. I don't know if you have key moments in your marriage or not, key moments in your life, that just stand out. She very easily, like most women, could have said, you dirty old man, you're really a slob. What are you doing that for? And what would have happened? I never would have shared anything personal like that again. But instead, she says, good, share with me how you're really feeling. We'll take a look at it. We'll analyze it. We'll pray about it. We'll really try and solve this thing. I want to minister and help you. Oh, she was telling me that from that moment on, I can think and bring any thought to her, good thought, bad thought, and I can share that thought with her. Okay, she answered appropriately to allow that to happen. It was one of those defining moments in life, and I've never forgotten that. So that's what I want. I want complete personal commitment. Now, how do you get there? You get there through feelings. There's a route to get to complete personal commitment, and most people can't do it. Okay, when you have feelings, when you're really angry at your mate, what do? You make me so mad, you dumb person. Why can't you ever blah, 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 and you cause war? Do you ever get to complete personal commitment? No, because you cut the person off. You'll never make it down to that point. The only way to get to level one, complete personal commitment, is to understand how to share feelings, and you've got to be able to do it in such a way that the other person receives you and can come back to you, and you can have a logical communication, and it really is healthy.
Now, normally, it's generally more natural for a woman to share feelings.
Normally, that's true.
Because I believe that God, in the creation, created them to be able to do that. Now, there are role models and role reversals and differences. So, that's general. A lot of women can share feelings. Women that can't share feelings have usually been used or abused, and they've, closed their spirit off. Men, on the other hand, it is, they think different. They compartmentalize different things, and they aren't as ready to just get their feelings right out there in the open. They think about things. Yes.
When I was a kid, I was taught I should never cry. Don't express feelings. The only feeling you can express as a man is if you're angry. I got a right to get angry. I'll get angry whenever I well please, man. That's just the way I am. And I was taught that. Don't share feelings. Share anger if you need to, but don't share other feelings. To share fear, to share compassion, to share loneliness, to share hopelessness, to share these things that I feel in my life, can't do that because men are taught not to do that. So a lot of you men probably don't share feelings with your wife either one. We've asked people to share what they need. Men say, I need a new pair of underwear. Okay. What are you feeling today? I'm feeling cold. See, most men weren't really taught how to share feelings, and so they can't minister to the wife and really share where they're really coming from.
A lot of men didn't have a good role model as
That's right.
father that was a good communicator or that shared feelings correctly, and so we do what we're taught, or we do what we see, or what is around us. But I'm here to tell you that you now live in a new family, the family of God. God is your father. Jesus Christ is your example. And Jesus was a good communicator. Jesus was not afraid to share feelings. He was not a macho man. He was a good man. And he was a man's man.
But he never cried, right?
He cried.
He cried.
He showed compassion.
Oh, when Lazarus, his best friend, died, he cried. When he looked on Jerusalem and knew it was going to be destroyed, he had compassion upon the people and he cried. It's like Jesus cried. Jesus had feelings. Jesus felt emotions in life and was not embarrassed to share them because he knew who he was. I love it in the Bible when it says that when they were having the Last Supper, it says Jesus, knowing where he came from, knowing who he was, removed his garment and washed the disciples' feet. These same people he knew were going to let him down hours later. He washed their feet. How could he do that? Because he knew where he came from, he knew who he was, and he was secure in himself, and he was a man's man. You know, I love that. Jesus is a man's man. It's not a University of Southern California football player. I mean, they're cool dudes, okay? But the real man in life is Jesus. We look to him because Jesus knew how to share feelings and knew how to... people love Jesus. People were attracted to Jesus. The kids came to Jesus. The men came to Jesus. The women came to Jesus. Everybody loved Jesus. Why? Because he was real and open and honest and shared what he was feeling and put it out there on the table.
If men have been told in a lot of countries, do not share a feeling that would make you look weak. Now,
well, by the way, in Asian countries, we asked the men in Taiwan, turn to your wife and say, I love you. And we watched. And nobody did it. Yeah, nobody did it. I mean, nobody did it. We said, what's the deal here? And the men said, we've been told never to do that in public. And the women said, furthermore, we don't want them to. And we said, why not? I thought every woman wanted to hear that. And they said, we wanted him to do it. Because saying I love you is Hollywood. That's what they told us in Taiwan. They said it's Hollywood because the men on TV will say, I love you, in order to do what? Get
have
the woman
sex.
To go to have sex. Okay, so we don't want to have sex with husbands. So we don't want to say that. It's like it's not a pleasant thing to us. Don't tell me you love me. Go out there and earn a good living. Go out there and clean our house up and wash the car and do stuff like that. That shows me you love me. Don't tell me they didn't want to hear it. But see, in America, we want to hear it. I understand all that. But over there, they didn't want to.
But that gave us the opportunity to talk to them about the difference between agape love and
that's
eros
right.
love
that's
and
right.
phileo love. And so it's like, you know, we are to agape love. And we are to speak it out and share it and say it. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that, you know, those who believe in him would have everlasting life. And we are to be examples of that. So, you know, if you've been taught, men or women, to hide your feelings and emotions and to not express them, ask Jesus to open up your emotions and ask him to help you to learn how to express them because it's time. You know, sometimes because we've buried them so deep, we don't even know what they are. But they're there, and it's healthy. So many physical problems come because people bury, you know, hurts and feelings and emotions that needed to be expressed. And because they were not expressed, they actually cause sickness and disease in your body. You know, there's spiritual roots to sickness and disease, and anger and unforgiveness and resentment and hurt and rejection and self-hate and all of these things cause physical sickness. So it's important, it's very important to learn how to communicate and share feelings. The other reason that it's so important to learn how to share how you feel is that unless you communicate and share feelings, you'll never even get to the area of where you're discerning whether what you're feeling is just a feeling or whether it's a giant stronghold and you need to take authority over it.
That's right.
Because if you just keep it inside, then Satan will continually control you and suppress you and lie to you. But if you speak it out and you talk about it, I mean, it's like, how did we heal all the things from our past is because we talked about it. We talked about the hurt and the pain. We talked about what we had done to each other. We said, I need to tell you how I feel. I feel. And share, you know, from your heart how you really feel.
Before we do that, let's just talk for a second about some stuff.
Okay.
We usually don't share this in groups, but you're alive and well. Are you alive and well? So you guys respond real well, so we can talk to you about this. Some groups don't want to hear this stuff. But let us give you some hints. And it's like maybe some of these hints you've already applied and you know these. But there's some ways to communicate with each other feelings. Number one is mirroring. What does mirroring mean? You can give it back. You can echo it back accurately what the person says. So it's like we practice this all the time, mirroring back and forth. And so, by the way, I love this. First time we ever tried this, we were going from Kansas City up to Iowa, up to what they call the Amana colonies, and a bunch of Amish Mennonite people, and they have some wonderful German food. And it took us about 5 hours to get there. We're just in the car, and we said, let's try mirroring. Now, Lorena, it turns out, is a very good mirror. I'm not, okay? Because when I try to do it every word. I try to memorize what she's saying, but she can tell the heart of the matter. Okay, so we try mirroring, and she would say, here's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling this and this and this and this and this and this, and I'm feeling this and this and this. And she gave me about 74 feelings and stuff. Like it was all over. I say, stop. You got, I'm a man. You got to give me this in short little chunks of time. And so she said, here's my feeling on this. I stop. Did I hear you correctly to say you're feeling this and this and that? She said, yes, it is. Okay, then she'd say, give me a second feeling. So it's like, so you got to learn about each other. You can't give a man too much. Okay, because a man is compartmentalized usually. He wants to hear one little thing. He wants to bring that to completion. I want to understand that feeling, so I grab onto it. So mirroring simply says that I can reflect back accurately what you're saying to me. And you might try this when you're in the car. When you drive to Kansas next month, okay, and see if Dorothy's still there, okay? Yeah, Toto's gone, but Dorothy's still. I'm sorry. Okay, Wizard of Oz stuff, that's nasty. So anyway, so when you're doing that, just try mirroring back and forth and just try giving a feeling, a good feeling or a bad feeling, mirror back and forth. Second thing, okay, is simply word pictures. Y'all know what word pictures are?
Yeah. Y'all read Gary Smalley's book about word pictures? it's an excellent book if you haven't. The Language of Love.
The Language of Love by Gary Smalley. Wonderful book.
It talks about if you can describe a word picture and paint that picture for your mate, they can feel emotionally what you're feeling.
That's right.
And men, it really helps them to feel what you're feeling. Like, you know, for instance, I could come home or Roger could come home and I could say, honey, I'm really feeling depressed. And he says, oh, that's really too bad, honey. Yeah. And he didn't enter into my feeling or my emotion at all. Hasn't got a clue, you know, why I'm depressed, the level of depression, what, you know, what's going on. If I would say, I'm really feeling depressed, it's kind of like, and I draw a word picture of something that we did. And something that we did in California a few years ago was we came out here and we set up a tent right by the ocean. It was just gorgeous. It was beautiful. We went away and had a romantic, you know, dinner at this restaurant by the ocean. We came back and there had been a huge wind and the fog had come in off of the ocean and the wind had knocked our tent down and our stuff was strewn all over the beach. And it was like, you know, it was just so depressing and so horrible. And on a scale of 1 to 10, I was depressed at 10 plus. Okay. Did you feel that?
I did. We need to pray for you.
Might be a stronghold. But do you see how you can draw people into the emotion? It can be a good, it can be a happy emotion. It can be something good, you know, like I feel
I'll share
like
one.
Accepted.
See how men and women are different. Okay, the word excitement. Word picture. Can I give you a word picture? Okay, I love to ski. I love to go to 14,000 feet. And look down the edge. You go up there with the ski lift, and you get on the edge, and you have your poles all ready, and you're looking down about 3,000 feet straight down, okay, and you're ready to jump off the edge and just fly down the slope. Oh, the excitement is just plain overwhelms me. I think you're out here with the trees. There are just ice crystals on them. You see the snow down below, the beautiful lakes down below. They're all frozen. And it's like everything's snow-covered and beautiful and white and blue and lovely, and it's just my senses are just alive and well, and I can just hardly wait just to jump off and go.
And some people would call that terror, you know.
Yes. Yeah. But now, notice the difference, okay? That's a man's example, but she feels it. She feels it. So I give her my example from where I'm coming from. And then she says back to me, excitement. Did I hear you say that you're excited? Like when we had our first child. And I could actually set up the mirrors to watch the baby pop out. And so when I had the child and the child just appeared, it's like, oh, I gave birth to my child. You can't get any more excited than that, than just watching that child just pop out and just the doctor take that child for the first time in his arms and then hand the baby to me. I said, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's exciting. Okay, so see, I would never use that as an example. That's a female thing. Okay, so you see how it's different? But you can use word pictures to get people in touch. And I love that because it gets me as a man emotionally involved when I'm not an emotional person. Okay, and by the way, too, she's better at mirroring. I'm better at word pictures because I can take up a word picture on anything. Okay, it's like, but see, I love the rules. Okay, when using word pictures, you use numbers on a scale of 1 to 10. I feel a 9. Okay, you can use colors. You know, red is usually a dramatic color, and black is usually a negative color, and you feel these different stuff. You can use animals or nature or things that are happening. I feel just restful, like that sunset setting over the ocean. So like you can put those things in there. But you can use all these different stuff to do that. Now, if you would turn over, let's do this. Okay, the feelings words. Okay, can we find that thing? Okay, on page 37 and 38. 37 and 38, you'll find a list of feelings words. List of feelings words. On page 37, there are positive feelings words. On page 38, there are negative feelings words. So positive and negative feelings words. And you'll notice in 38, everybody turn 38 real quickly. Page 38, notice on the second one down, fear and anxiety. Is fear a feeling or a giant spirit? Could be both. Why could it be both? When's it a feeling? A roller coaster, yeah, but you're in charge of it, right? You're in charge of it. You can feel fear. If you step out in the interstate out here, okay, and there's five trucks coming right at you, what should you feel? Fear. Because fear does what? Fear causes your muscles to contract, your blood vessels to get small, and you get in gear, man, and you hop out of the way of the truck, and you're safe. You're okay. You should feel fear. You're dumb if you don't, okay? But can fear be a giant spirit? Yes, fear can overwhelm you and just cause you to do stupid stuff in life, and it's like it just causes you to be in fear. It can be either one. So all these things on the second page, 38, can be a feeling or a giant spirit. Now go back to page 37. And we don't hardly ever do this, but we're going to do this today. We want to give you a chance to give us a word picture and try this. So we want to pick out a word on that list of words on page 37, and we'd like you to say, I feel. Put it in. Like, I feel joy, like, and give us a word picture. And we want to see if anybody can actually do that. Okay, I feel, and put in one of these words, and then say, like this, and give us a word picture back. Somebody try it. I feel, like. Come on, try it for me. You guys are open and
Californians
honest.
Californians don't feel, huh?
Well, Californians do. Yeah, you guys feel, and you're open and real, and, so, and you're willing
okay.
to take a risk.
Give you a word? Give you a word. What's a gay word? How about I feel accepted? Oh, do you have one back here?
Yeah, I was just going to be sweet.
Okay.
Good.
All right.
Ooh. You're
That's
not only
cool.
sweet, you're delicious.
can you feel that? Oh, me too, man. That's cool. How about joy? I feel joy like. Yes.
I feel joy like when I've been at work and after
on. That's good.
Hallelujah.
That's amazing. Praise God. Praise God.
I could feel that. Yeah. Okay. I feel acceptance like. Yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
Neat.
Okay, do you all see how it works? See, we're using positive things here, but you can do this with the same thing with a negative thing, okay? I feel depressed-like. I feel oppressed-like. I feel sad-like. And just put in a word picture. So we just ask you to try this, okay, with positive and negative words when you're driving or at home. Okay, and in fact, get your kids to do this. We taught basically her. We taught our kids how to share feelings, and our kids now can share feelings better than their wives can. Oh, that's really good, and their wives love it. I mean, they just plain love that they can do that. Yeah, did we tell them about them coming home? If I did, I'm getting so old, I forget what I say. Okay, but you know, Lorraine's married to a male, has you know, two kids, are both men, both boys, and when the kids come home, what would she say to them? Hi, how are you? I'm fine. And how are you? I'm okay. And how are you? Just great. And Lorene got sick of it. She said, stop. What does okay feel like? Oh, Mom. No, what does okay feel like? Okay feels like I got a 100 on my spelling test. How do you feel? I feel fine. What's fine feel like? Oh, this girl, the one I've been watching for the last 2 years, walked up to me and smiled and said, hi, how you doing? Oh, I feel fine, ma'am. Okay. Yeah, okay. So it's like she made us feel like what? Okay, actually, Cheryl, that we do that in the car. And so instead of going down the highway and doing the little alphabet game where you got to look in license plates and signs and picking out letters of the alphabet, that kind of stuff that people do, kind of strange stuff going cross country, you know, we'd actually say, let's take a word. Okay, excited. What's excitement to you? What's excitement to you? What's excitement to you? And have them share a word picture and put in this stuff. And so they practice it and practice it and practice it. So when they get into a communications problem, you can say, I feel belittled. Like. Wonderful. Okay? So practice this stuff. Praise the Lord.
Let's give you another example. Have any of you seen the Gary Smalley videos or been to a Gary Smalley conference? Do you remember his McDonald's illustration? Did any of you see that? Well, if you did, we'll try to redo it and see if we can do it correctly, if we can find our our equipment here to do it with. But Gary Smalley said that it comes back to honoring and respecting and really trying to mirror back and to hear what the other person is saying and to communicate correctly. He said that many times, you know, the people at McDonald's drive-through window are more polite and, you know, communicate better than a husband and wife. And so he said, he kind of gave an example of what would happen if the McDonald's employee and the customer talked to each other the way that most husbands and wives, you know, communicate. So I'm going to be the customer, and you're going to be the employer, and I'm going to come in for something. Who knows what? Okay.
May I help you, ma'am?
Yes. I would like a Big Mac, a green salad, and some water with lemon, please.
Ma'am, I can see you through the drive-up window camera, and I want to let you know that Big Mac has got 1,800 calories. And looking at you, I would think you probably ought to lay off that thing and buy just the salad and buy the water with lemon. If you do get it, you probably ought to get 3 lemons to get rid of all its fat that's going to come through your body.
Well, would you go back to that McDonald's?
What did I do wrong? I was just being truthful, right?
He may have been truthful. What did he do wrong? Everything. Give me some examples. What did he do?
What did I do? Criticized.
Criticized? Judged?
Judged.
He belittled me?
Do what?
Humiliated me.
That's right. Insensitivity.
Nobody asked his opinion about what I ordered.
Made
me lose my
appetite. That's right.
Lost sale. Did he validate me?
No.
He didn't validate the order? Did he use the word you?
Yes. It's an attack.
So he attacked me. Okay. All right. Well, so much for McDonald's.
Well, no. Let's try it again. Give me a second chance.
You mean forgive you?
Will you forgive me, please?
Oh, okay. Well, all right. We'll try again. Okay. La 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 la. A lot of them have. Never mind.
May I help you, ma'am?
Yes, sir. What do I want? I would like a Big Mac. I would like some French fries and a Diet Coke, please.
Ma'am, did I hear you correctly to say you'd like a Big Mac, an order of fries, and a Diet Coke?
Yes, that's correct.
And what size fries and what size Coke, please?
I'd like a small fry and a small Coke.
Did I hear you correctly to say you'd like a small fry and a small Diet Coke?
Yes, please.
Is there anything else I can help you with?
Yes, I would like some salt for the French fries.
I'd be glad to give you some salt. Thank you, ma'am. Is there anything else I can help you with?
And some ketchup.
And some ketchup. Thank you. Is there anything else I can help you with?
No, I think that's it.
Thank you, ma'am. That'll be $14.87.
Okay, what did he do? What did he do right? What did he do? What did he do? He mirrored that. Uh-huh. He validated. He listened. He was a good listener.
Made the sale.
And he tried to up the sale, too. That's right. Good salesman. He what? He never lost his patience. Very good.
Uh-huh.
He asked for detail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He clarified back. He was polite. I'm sure glad I went back. Yeah. Okay, so you bring that over into communications. Which way are you communicating with the person that you live with? I mean, you're the judge. You have not judge, not this isn't a place to judge each other. This is a place to judge your own heart. You know, don't look at the speck in your brother's eye when there's a beam in your own. But we need to look at how are we communicating? Are we validating? Are we mirroring back? Are we being sweet and kind? Or are we attacking with the you word?
So let's go on and talk about that you word. A lot of you have had this already, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but we want to go back and refresh your memories on stuff. We want to talk about that feelings formula. Have you all talked about feelings formula before? Some of you have, some of you haven't. Let's talk about this thing. The feelings formula is just in a critical a tool. It's just a tool. Everybody say tool.
Tool.
I know it's a tool. It's a can tool.
Okay, but it's a good can.
I confess that before we start. Because some of you come back and say, I don't want to do something canned. And I'd say, well, then do something your own. Okay, figure out how to do this thing. But I've come up with a can tool that you can use to share feelings with your mate. So we have a tool. And it says up here, sharing without attacking mate starts off with, I need to tell you how I feel. Now, let me say this. When this happens in our house, it's like raising a red flag. And everything in the house stops. Everything stops. When she says to me, I need to share with you how I feel, I just say, okay, turn the TV off. And I turn my attention to her. And I let her share with me what she's feeling. If I said the same thing with her, I let her share. We're talking about sharing feelings, and we listen to the other person. Now, once she shared her feelings with me, what does she do? She gives it back to me, almost like we got a basketball or passing back and forth. She says, I need to share with you how I feel. I give her the ball. Okay, she shares those feelings with me. And then when we're all through that, she gives the ball back to me and says to me, would you share with me how you feel? Now, if you want to mirror back, you can, but mirroring back is a little bit down the line, okay? But then share how you feel. So she gives the ball to me, and I say, I'll share with you how I feel. And I share with her, and then I take this ball, and I give it back to her. And what happens, I say, share with me what you need and want. She shares that. She gives the ball back to me, and I say, here's what I need and want, and we solve the problem. Now, can you solve virtually every problem in a marriage by doing that? Yes. Yes, but most people don't want to. Because we're so used to saying, you make me so mad. You said stupid words about me, and I didn't like that at all, and I didn't appreciate what you're doing, you dumb woman. And what's going on there? We're doing a lot of things wrong. Okay, but first of all, always use I, never use you. Now, we're going to try this in a minute. And if you've never done this before, you'll probably fail the first time because that word you. We're so used to saying you. You make me mad. You caused me to do this. You said this. You did this. You did that. You words are attacks, devaluations, and they cause the whole communication to break down, and we have a war. So you words we're going to say. You can't use word. I can't use you. It's like, how do you not say you? Is this neat? How do you not say you? You can do it. I mean, you can do it. Then it says, be responsible for your own feelings. If you're angry, in fact, let me ask you this. Can he make me angry?
Yeah.
No. He can say something to me that would cause me to be ticked off, and I'll feel angry. What happens? I choose anger. I choose it, man. I don't have to get angry. I have a choice in the whole matter out here. I choose to get angry. So he says the words, I choose to get angry. Be responsible and say, I feel angry. Not, you cause me to be angry. You say, I feel angry. And be responsible for your feelings and be honest about what you're really feeling up there and share what you feel.
Can Roger make me be inferior and worthless and full of shame? He can say things that are embarrassing and that are humiliating, like the guy over there, that McDonald man. But I choose what I do with what comes at me, just like Snoopy and Lucy. You know, when we're secure in who we are, your mate cannot make you unhappy and ruin your day. I mean, that's really true. I had to learn that.
That's right.
Because I valued everything about who I was from what he said. No. we evaluate who we are from what the Word says, and we respond accordingly. But if someone says something negative or bad, we need to have the right to share, let me tell you how I feel about what happened.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information or materials for Mountaintop Marriages, to contact the Travers, or for a detailed seminar schedule, please visit www.mountaintopmarriages.org. And remember to keep climbing until you reach the top.